The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and jebelize. That doesn't make any sense. The Star Wars movies, 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
And I'm Chris Radke, straight here from Star Wars City.
There he is.
Hey.
Oh, there he is.
Oh my God, this is the minute. This is the minute, the best minute of the whole thing.
Yeah, welcome back. I'm glad you were able to make it. I know your schedule was uncertain there for a second, but... this minute 80 of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Minute 80 starts with the crowd leaving the conference room, and it ends with Cassian saying, "We've all done terrible things on behalf of the rebellion. We've all done terrible things."
Murder. Oh my God, this is the part. This is the best part. This is the best part.
Yeah, I know. I was going through my notes. Originally, when we were like, "All right, here are your minutes," I said it goes basically from, you know, choke on your aspirations to what is she proposing, and then I forgot when we were. I was actually going back to send them to you. I texted you again to be like, "Oh, and also you get the PA announcement."
Ah, General Syndulla, please come to aisle 5. This is the best. Oh my God! So. I love Rebels.
I know that.
The show or yeah. the Rebels?
Just the concept, yes. But Star Wars Rebels, man, that show is something. And I love that the Ghost crew is represented in this movie. That made me so happy. And even though we don't ever see her, but her existence is validated. And I just think that's the best. I was so excited to hear that. And Chopper's there too. There's multiple Ghost crew references, and it's great.
Now, I'm totally a Rebels novice. I've you know maybe seen one episode. What is she a general or are they jumping around in time?
All right. So let's
here we go.
Yeah, strap in, boys. Right. So the Rebels show, the Rebels crew, the rebellion is just forming, and it is the very early days, and some could say that the rebellion's kind of success is really predicated on the success of the Ghost crew and what they achieve as troublemakers and resistors, and the way that show is done, I admittedly, like many shows, the first season is a little awkward. They're trying to find they have to get their sea legs. It ends really like on a strong note, and then season 2 picks up, and then that show just cooks. And as the story goes on, you know, you've got two Jedis on the show that are nowhere to be found during all the Star Wars. So you're like, what's up with these? So the whole time you're watching, you're like, you have got this sense of dread because you know these two most likely aren't going to make it. And, you know, and it's a kids show. They're really going to do something that drastic, and they sure do. And General Syndulla, she's Hera Syndulla. She's a captain of a spaceship. She's a Han Solo. She drives, flies around.
Twi'lek.
A Twi'lek. And she's kind of the you know, if you want to talk about the Ghost Crew as a family, she's the mother of the group. And she's also the one who is at her heart, like, a rebel. Like, she's in this because she's fighting injustice and she's got an axe to grind. And, you know, they form this rebellion early on with some other characters. And then it just, as it starts evolving, you see, like, and a lot of the characters from Rogue One do show up in some kind of regard. So there is just this nice through line there. Timeline wise, it's right there. So
can I ask a question?
Yes.
What Rebels is 10 years before BBY?
It starts, I believe, 8 years before.
Solo was 10 years BBY.
Yeah. So Solo is earlier. I believe the beginning season one is 8 years. And by the end, it's probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And my math may be wrong. You'll have to go check Joe Casta New. She'll respond. But it ends a little bit out, a little bit of distance from Rogue One. So, where it does kind of, and the last episode of Rebels is great because they do a, you know, where are they now kind of thing at the end, where you post war, what happens to the characters that survive, and it's terrific. So there's a couple of really cool things that they set up, but what is set up is that Hera is a rebel pilot that, you know, is part of the fleet, and she's there during all of the major battles of Star Wars. You just kind of don't see the ghost ship because there's lots of ships there.
It's just off camera.
Yeah, it's just slightly off to the side. But what's really cool is one of my favorite things that they've kind of retrofit in there is, you know, the bearded rebel on Endor, the white bearded guy.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually Captain Rex of Clone Wars fame and who eventually joins the Rebels, which I think is great. I love that they did that. And so it's neat how they kind of fit it in. There is a lightsaber. There's quite a few lightsaber battles in Rebels, but there is you get the Ahsoka versus Vader lightsaber battle. And it is fantastic. And it really, it draws on a lot of emotion. It's at a right awesome spot in the story. And it is, and the Vader appearances in Rebels, he is menacing and frightening and scary. And he's back to the Vader that we kind of grew up with. I love it. It is such a great show.
Hmm. Now, do you think that she should have physically been in there? Do you think there should be more? Obviously, I think you're a fan of it. So, do you think that the rebel stuff, especially with Filoni, you know, keeping a role in production of stuff, do you think that Rebels characters should make live action appearances, or would the jump from cartoon to the jump from animated to live action be too drastic for a lot of fans?
No, I think that's exactly where they need to go with this. She should have been there in the room arguing with everybody. There are two things. One is, you know, like casting her as a human. I'm sorry, casting her as a live action person would have required casting that would have really drawn away from the gravity of what's going on. The fans would have paid a lot of attention to that. So. I think it's okay that she's not there. But I do think that some of the characters, like I hope we're going to get Ahsoka and Sabine in The Mandalorian at some point. Because at that point in The Mandalorian, when I referenced kind of the Rebels, where are they now scene, you know, it literally is 5 years after the Battle of Endor. Sabine and Ahsoka go out on a quest together to the far outer lawless outer rims. And that's exactly where The Mandalorian is taking place. And knowing that Filoni is involved, I'm expecting them to show up. And here's the thing is like, I think Filoni as a director of live action, he doesn't have the chops, right? It's like, it's either he doesn't have the experience, but he's getting there. And I think the pairing of Favreau and Filoni is really smart on Disney's side, because Filoni is the new George Lucas, as far as I'm concerned. He's the guy that is telling the most coherent stories across whatever the medium is that he's playing in. I think he has an end game, and he has, you know, he's thinking bigger picture. He's seeped in the lore. He's created a lot of the lore that fans have connected with. And like, look, I ignored the Clone Wars because I didn't like the prequels back then. I love the prequels now, apparently. But the Clone Wars, as you go back, and like, it's a great show. There's really tight stories, and they take a lot of characters that are, you know, have no right being as cool as they are in that show. So I think that we're on that path, you know, like Disney is desperate to find something that is going to get them, you know, through the next few phases. I think, you know, Project Luminous is, you know, it's a risk. It's them being like, you know, trying to do something different. But I think if they really just let Filoni take the reins and tell the stories that he wants, and you surround him with good producers like Favreau, who can, you know, get through the whole Hollywood hustle, I think the future is bright, and those characters should show up because there's enough fan enjoyment of them. Why the hell not?
Yeah, this is a very positive Chris Radke we're getting.
Yeah, no, look, man, I got a bad rep. I love Star Wars. Bad Star Wars is better than no Star Wars. And that has been truly tested lately, but it is really, Rebels is terrific. And these new Clone Wars episodes are awesome. And I think that there's, you know, like it's rewarding for the fans who really gets pulled into all this. And look, at the end of the day, like, that's who you should be telling your stories to. Marvel is successful because the source material is respected. Those DC movies are terrible because they hired people to make those movies who don't know the characters and didn't read the comics. You need to dork out. You need to embrace it. You need to realize that, like, those are the clowns that are spending the money on it. Give them what they want. And then they'll tell their friends how good it is, and the norms will go see it after that. That's why the Marvel formula worked so well. And I think if Star Wars tries to make it as broad for the masses as possible, you get what we've been dealing with the JJ episodes. If you give it to the super dork nerds who know their stuff, like, the fact that, you know, people are watching The Mandalorian who don't watch Star Wars. You know, I have one friend that hates Star Wars, and he was like, so many people kept giving me a hard time about watching Mandalorian that I would love it. And the dude went and watched it, and he was like, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen. So take that, Alex.
He put you in your place.
I really want Zev. I want from Rebels. I want to see him show up because he's prototype.
Hard
Chewbacca.
To do in live action.
No, that's a coward's talk. I think. What are you a Jebel?
I think it would be easy.
Signed up for an animated show, not a suicide pact.
Oh, Jesus.
you could just kind of, you know, if you texture the model differently, you know, you basically have him already.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, just make a couple of adjustments and you know, the jump from animated character to animated live action character, if that makes sense, is not as vast as jumping from, you know, suddenly a person being the Twi'lek that you're, or even worse, the human that you've been looking at.
And here's another thing about Filoni that I will heap praise on to him is, you know, one of the main things about Star Wars are robots, right? The droids. You need to love the droids. And there are no droids in the prequels that really stand out and you fall in love with. Even R2 and 3PO are a little off.
Yeah, they're made less lovable, if anything.
Right. And in the sequel trilogy, like, just you know, oh, BB-8 is pretty lame. And all of the robots that Filoni has brought us, Chopper is amazing. I love Chopper. I think he's a great character. He's got a lot of personality. He's got the charm of R2-D2, but he's a curmudgeon. And Filoni also gave us IG-11, right? So, like, these are, like, the droids are back in the front. You gotta love the robots. That's the thing about Star Wars. The robots are important. You can't forget about them. And Filoni definitely has not. And then, what is it? The AP-92 or whatever it is, the paranoid android from Rebels. He's fantastic. I'm forgetting his name, though.
Can we just talk about him?
AP-7.
I gotta go look that up because he is so good on that show. I'm a little disappointed that he didn't get more screen time.
Speaking of screen time, we get our characters. We get the Rogue Ones get back together. We've only been looking at Jin and Bodhi in the conference room, and then they come back out to meet up with the rest of the gang. They have this, like, kind of, you know, just got out of the meeting briefing. You're like, hey, you don't look happy. And Jin explains what's going on. And then they're basically like, well, we can still do it. And Chirrut says, like, the Force is strong. And it almost seems like he trails off and it's like, I like leaves everybody hanging for a second. Cause it's like, that like seems like half of a phrase or something, like, oh, the Force is strong with those who something like, but it's just like, the Force is strong. And everybody's like,
I love that.
Okay.
Well, what I also think is funny is that Jin then follows it up saying, I'm not sure the four of us is going to be quite enough. So I don't know what it almost sounds like she misunderstood and thought he said, oh, the four of us are strong. You know what I mean? He says the Force is strong. And she says, well, I'm not sure the four of us are going to be enough. It's going to be quite enough. Yeah. So
wow. That's really
extra layers of weirdness.
He's definitely. I love it. The Force is strong. I also love that Chirrut, his like Force sayings are always like a little like it seems like they're a little bit off.
And he's translating it from a different,
you know, right.
It works better than the original Jedin.
And I think I like the idea that he's just really into Jedi, and you know, he kind of got it. But yeah, it's really terrific. I love Chirrut and Baze, man. They are great characters. And they're some of my, they might be my favorite characters in all of the Rogue One.
Yeah.
More so than K2SO.
I love K2SO, but Chirrut and Baze are just really interesting. I like their intro. I like their power sets. I like their looks. I think they're, I love their friendship and love. I think they are, I would love to see their adventures in some form. Like sad that they died, but, they really are, just terrific characters. And I love the actors that play them. They're just so cool. And they don't get enough shine.
Yeah, that's true. Did we see, I feel like the year after this came out, there was some good Baze and Chirrut cosplay at Celebration, then it disappeared.
Yeah.
I guess everyone
often
wants to,
overlooked.
Yeah, everyone wants to stay on top of whatever the trendy things are.
I think Rogue One in general also just seems to get less. I think a lot of people forget about it.
Mm.
I feel that. It's so good, though, man. It is really... It's the Rebels and Rogue One are the, for me, I mean, up until The Mandalorian were like the shining examples of what Disney could do with this, this thing.
Hmm. Well, there's also, we've been kind of, I'm not going to say joking, but we've been, tossing the idea around of, that this, this movie, would be well served as a musical. That Rogue One has a lot of points. The way that it's structured and the way that it flows would be a good musical. And I think this would be the beginning of the big kind of number that takes.
Do you hear the people sing?
Hmm.
Do you hear the people sing? You know, it starts off and then they all band together to.
Right. Yeah. So it's the meeting and or maybe is this the end of. Maybe this is the end of Act One and the big number to close out Act One. It's a little bit after the halfway point. Maybe this is where we get like the
It's like in South Pacific when all the sailors and take their shirts off. This is that part where they were like, we're in it to win it. And,
exactly. We all get we're getting going. So this the end of this minute kind of kicks off the I think the song would start where people start kind of shuffling in to form the Rogue One group.
This would be the Rogue One song. The song Rogue One.
Right. Well, they don't have
love.
They don't have the name
from Rogue One.
Remember, they
that's true.
They don't become Rogue One until later.
Then this is. Then this would be. This song would be called "The Force is Strong,"
or something like that, or "Rebellions are Built on Hope," or something where it like you know they come out of the meeting, they get. You know, and then slowly people come in from the different you know off the wings to join the crew, and by the end they have a whole. Their whole little army together that are going to, they decide they're going to take on the Empire by themselves, just like Dak would have.
Oh, man.
I love also here, I love when Baze tips her off. He's like, oh, you're really pissed. You want to fight. So do they. Like, he's right. So excited to be the one that's like, have I got news for you, sister?
Yeah. How many do we need? I don't know how Baze knew that. I guess maybe he sensed it with the, does he have force powers? Or is it just Chirrut that has force powers?
Just Chirrut.
Yeah. I mean, if he does, he denies it, too. He's not. I think
there's
he's
no
Mumbo
way
Jumbo
that Baze does. No, yeah. Baze is a normal guy. Oh, by the way, his name's AP5, not AP7.
Okay. Right.
But isn't Baze also a Guardian of the Wills? Or just a different division?
Yeah, the Guardians of the Wills, though, are like they're religious fanatics who've, you know, like they're it's done.
If Chirrut has force powers, shouldn't Baze, being from the same team, also have force powers?
Not necessarily.
No. He believes.
I mean, look,
in it, but he doesn't.
The Jedi have been long gone. They've been gone for a full decade. Everyone's forgotten all about
them. They're legends at this point.
Yeah. Oh, and then so in Mandalorian, go on.
Well, why does Chirrut have it and Baze doesn't have it? That's what I don't understand.
Because not everybody's got the Force, man. You know better.
Yeah, midichlorians.
But then how did he become a Guardian of the Wills? Wouldn't that be kind of a entrance requirement to be Force sensitive?
No, Guardian of the Wills is just like you're the Baba Rumbaba people. You're signing up for your religious folks. Some of them have their calling and speak in tongues for real. Some of them speak in tongues because they're crazy.
So Baze just doesn't have he was just kind of like a so is Chirrut the exception that he does have force powers? Is he the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer of the Wills?
Yes.
Or is it more that everyone else doesn't have? So he's the exception because he has force powers. Okay.
Right. I'm glad we got that settled.
Anyway, they're about to go on an adventure.
Right. And as are we, because I think that's the end of our minute, pretty much. They're about to get the band together, and they're gonna head out And we're going to head out. Unless, did either of you have any last things to talk about this week? Or Chris, did you have any other last minute things to talk about for this movie at all? Because this is the end of your week.
Nah, it's a great movie. I'm glad everybody's enjoying this one.
All Chris, right. Can I just ask you to discourse on Saul Guerrero for a second?
You should have had me on during Saul Guerrero minutes, man.
Mm. All right, then.
That grudge is going to the grave, pal. So, Saul Guerrero, great rebel hero.
All right, then.
I will. Yeah, we could talk about Saw another time.
All right. When we see Saw.
So.
Well, thanks for coming on, Chris. It's another good week, and always happy to have you on the show.
Always happy to be here.
And
go check you out at Star Wars City.
Yeah, if anybody's.
Nah, man, I'm going back to Star Wars City.
Mm.
I do believe I've had enough.
Listeners, if you want, this doesn't have to be the end of the week for you. If you want more episodes, you want that Star Wars Minute to keep coming through. Best way to do it. Head to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And if you support us there, then you'll get access to as many as two extra episodes every week. So that's, you get a Saturday, you get a Sunday, and if the price is right, you don't have to ever be without us.
Hey.
And so...
this is right.
So if you want to do that, do that. If you can't, or won't, or don't feel like it, that's fine, too. We understand. Then we'll just meet you back here on Monday for a brand new episode of Star Wars
Star
Minute.
Wars City.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.